I just love that number. That's so true. It's the little things in life that make the biggest difference in the world. But so many times we look for the big things to make a difference, and we miss the little things. Well, Pastor Matt Higa is here from New Hope Kapa'a Kauai, and he will bring us a message about how we are not to overlook the little things in life. I love Pastor Matt. He has a great heart for the church. He was here with us at New Hope for a while. In fact, he grew up right here in Kalihi-Palama area. And the Lord began to move his heart. He moved over to Kapa'a and began working with the church there and has built up our New Hope sister church in Kapa'a, Kauai. Now, that took a lot of guts, because when you move to Kapa'a, you have to learn a new language. They speak a different kind of a pidgin than we do here in Honolulu. And so for those of you who need translation, we have that available out there. But Pastor Matt has a great heart of the Lord, and he'll teach you about and teach us about how to not overlook the little things. Now, he speaks with experience, because you see, he's about the same size of Pastor Wayne, so you don't have to adjust your screens or anything. He brings a great heart, and he brings the heart of Jesus Christ. Would you welcome Pastor Matt Higa as he comes out?
Thank you, Elwin. Okay, I'm not going to say anything about the Chinese, Pastor Elwin. I'm going to save that for later. But thank you for joining us here today. What a privilege and an honor for me to be here before you. And you know, like Pastor Elwin said, I grew up in Honolulu. I'm a Honolulu boy. I grew up in Kalihi-Palama. In fact, a couple blocks down the road. I grew up, and then we moved to Kauai. The Lord had us move there. And now we've been there for about 3 years, and it's been interesting, to say the least, because Kauai, a little bit different, yeah? If for those of you who know what I mean, and you know, it's very rural, very country, so there's a lot of country folk there. In fact, the last census that they took, they said that there are about 56,000 permanent residents there. So in comparison to the population here on Oahu, it's kind of small. You could almost take all of them and put them in Aloha Stadium. So like I said, it's very country, certain areas, very a lot of country folk. And there's a comedian on the circuit now, and he likes to do a lot of humor about country people. So since I moved to Kauai, I can relate to a lot of things. And because the locals on Kauai call themselves Kauaians. You know, you take the word Hawaiian and you replace it with a K, and you get Kauaians. And so I like to have fun, and I say this, that you know you're Kauaian if you keep referring to the 8th grade as my senior year. But that's how it is on Kauai, but it's a blessing to be there. God is really blessed. The people are just wonderful, but it's good to be back home with all of you again. And today we're going to be talking about how God can take the small things in our life and do large, big things if we're faithful, if we're thankful. Because sometimes we can miss the big things in life, the big things of God, if we tend to overlook, underestimate, ignore, or even despise the small things that God has put in our life. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Our message is the big is in the little. So God tells us in the Bible that if He can trust us with the small things in our life, if we're thankful, if we're faithful, He'll add on greater things in our lives. So let's look what the Bible says. If you go ahead and take out your sermon notes with us, in this first scripture here, in Matthew 25:23, this is what it says, and let's all go read this together. Ready, go. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of the Lord." So God is saying here, if He can trust us with the small things in our lives that He has placed before us, if we're thankful, if we do the best with the things that He has placed in our lives, whether how small they may be, God says, "I will add on greater things." Because sometimes you and I may feel like we're insignificant in God's kingdom. Like we don't have too much to offer. But God likes to take otherwise seemingly insignificant people and do significant things. All around us in life, small things can have so much of a big impact, if you know what I mean. How many of you have been down to the beach and you're swimming and just one teeny, teeny bitty grain of sand gets into your eye and under your eyelid? Boy, isn't that some big hurt in something so small? Yeah, it feels like a boulder is in there. And then maybe you men can relate to this. When you first bought that diamond engagement ring for your wife, wasn't that a big bill for something so small? Well, in my wife's case, at least. And then there's certain insects, you know, certain bugs. I like to call them stink bugs. If you squish them, the most repulsive odor would come out from it. You know, and now it's just, lingering on your shoes or your slippers. And that's some big stink in something so small. Which reminds me of a story about these three guys. One Japanese guy, one Hawaiian guy, and one Porygi guy. And they were driving around in the country one day, and their car broke down, and it was getting late, it started to rain. So they looked around, and they saw this farmhouse. So they went to the farmhouse, knocked on the door, and the farmer came out. So they told the farmer, our car just broke down, and could we please stay the night until we can get some help in the morning? So the farmer says, sure, no problem. Only situation is, I only got room enough for two of yous in the house. So one of you is going to have to sleep outside in the barn. And the only problem there is, I just got this one little itty bitty baby pig. And he's got some big stink on him, if you know what I mean. But if you can handle the aroma, shouldn't be a problem at all. So the Hawaiian guy I go sleep in the barn. I was on Paniolo, on Hawaiian cowboy. I grew up around farm animals. I can handle, I go. So the Hawaiian guy goes. 10 minutes later, knock on the door, it's the Hawaiian guy. Hora hauna inside here. Hoy, can I handle? More better, we just kalua that pig. So the Japanese guys go, not to worry. See, a Japanese very smart, you see. I put a clothespin on nose, I breathe through mouth. I go sleep in the barn. So the Japanese guy goes, 10 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. It's the Japanese guy. Hora kusai ne! Eto kusai! Even breathe through mouth, coughing. No can sleep in barn. So the Portuguese guy go, you two wimps. You cannot handle. I go, my family only bathe on Saturdays anyway. So the Portuguese guy goes, I think his name was Mano. Cordero. So the Portuguese guy goes, 10 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. Standing on the porch, holding his nose, was the pig. Some big stink in something small. But today, we're going to look at three people in the Bible, three stories of what seemingly at first would be insignificant people, but God is going to do significant things in them or through them. And the first story we're going to be talking about is about a lady named Lydia. Okay, now Lydia doesn't get much publicity or headlines in the Bible. She's not an Esther, she's not a Ruth, she's not even a Mary. In fact, the Bible only mentions her one time. But Lydia has an encounter with Paul and some of the disciples. And when she meets them, she has a heart of hospitality, so she invites them over to her house. But like I said, we don't know too much about Lydia, but this is what the Bible says in Acts 16:14. It says, one of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth. Now, I like to believe that maybe Lydia was like me. She might have grown up in Kalihi or Waipahu because it says she sold purple clothes. And then, as she's talking with Paul and some of the disciples, she says, if you agree that I am faithful to the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged us until we did. She urged them. She was very persuasive. Please, you gotta come. Come to my house. You know, one of those people, please come. Please come. You gotta come. She's like that. She has a heart of hospitality. So she extends it to Paul and the disciples. Said, why don't you come over to my house for some chicken adobo, pork guisantes, and some banana lumpia? Now, on the way to Lydia's house, Paul and the disciples run into some problems, some obstacles, the Bible says. They run into a girl with a spirit of divination. She is a fortune teller, the Bible says. So Paul prays for her, the Lord delivers her, but now her boss is upset because they just ruined their 1-900 psychic hotline. Come on, somebody. The people of that town get upset. They throw Paul and Silas into jail. And you gotta love this. Just around midnight, an earthquake hits the jail. The doors fly open. The chains fall off. The jailer and his family get saved. And now Paul and Silas are free. And before they leave that region, they're like, hey, you remember that lady Lydia? Why don't we go to her house for some chicken adobo, pork sandwiches, and banana lumpia? Now, I'm going to put a comma in this message right here, okay? So don't forget about Lydia. We're going to come back to her. Now, I know you're not going to forget about Lydia, but because by the looks of all of you, none of you refer to the eighth grade as my senior year. So we're going to come back to Lydia. Now, I really like sports. I grew up participating in sports, and I watched a lot of sports. I even coached sports for 10 years. So when my wife and I went on Holy Land, we went on a Holy Land tour to Israel in 1994, I was so excited because on the tour with us, in fact, sitting next to us on the airplane, was former heavyweight boxing champion Evander Holyfield. And it was really cool. I got to talk to him, and we took pictures, and I got his autograph. But soon after that tour, Evander Holyfield was set to fight in one of the greatest boxing matches in the history of the sport when he signed on to fight Mike Tyson. What was even so more intriguing was the fact that Evander Holyfield publicly confessed that he was a Christian and a believer in Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, Mike Tyson said that he was a staunch Muslim. Now, that night when Evander Holyfield walked into the ring, written across the boxing trunks of the soon-to-be heavyweight champion of the world were inscribed these letters and numbers. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Now, little did Lydia know that some 2,000 years later, that the man she invited over to her house for some chicken adobo, pork sandwiches, and banana lumpia would write a letter back to her hometown of Philippi. From that letter, a scripture will be taken, Philippians 4:13. And that scripture will be written across the front of the soon-to-be boxing champion of the world for thousands upon thousands in attendance in Las Vegas, Nevada to see. And millions upon millions on pay-per-view will get to witness the word of God being proclaimed. Because sometimes when it comes to God, the big is in the little. You never know whose life you'll touch. You never know that person you'll invite over to your house. Little did Lydia know that the Apostle Paul would go on to write 13 books of the New Testament. Little did Lydia know that this man would be a biblical icon, that his writing and teachings will revolutionize the church from that time up until now and beyond. Because sometimes you never know whose life that God will touch through you. The telephone call you made, that kind gesture, that act of love of inviting someone over. You never know who that person will turn out to be. That might be the next Mother Teresa of Calcutta or the next Wayne Cordero. Because sometimes when it comes to God, the big is in the little. So go ahead and write in your first bullet there, a kind gesture or an act of love is never too small for God to use. A kind gesture or an act of love is never too small for God to use. You never know that hand you extended, who that person will turn out to be. Sometimes we won't even see the fruits of our labor right away. We may not even see it in our lifetime, but God can take that and turn it into something huge. Now, there's a story about a traveling evangelist by the name of Mordecai Hammond. You might know this story because Pastor Wayne has referred to it before in the past. Now, Mordecai Hammond was a traveling evangelist. In modern terms, he would be considered like an itinerant pastor. But he would have all these tent revival meetings across the United States. Well, one night he was preaching in the Carolinas, and the weather was bad. So only a very small number of people showed up. In fact, what could be more discouraging is that when Mordecai Hammond gave the altar call, only a handful of people came forward. But one of those that came forward took a salvation card and wrote down his name, William Graham. In Mordecai Hammond's mind, maybe he had a bad meeting, but in God's mind, he had a great meeting because Billy Graham got saved. Because sometimes when it comes to God, the big is in the little. We'll never know whose life we will touch. We'll never know who God will send into our lives. They might first seem insignificant, but God will do significant things through people that he sends in our life. That's why we should never overlook or disregard the small things that God has placed before us. This next story is about a young boy. Now, if you're like me, one time or another felt insignificant in God's kingdom, or you felt that you had very little to offer God, if you can relate to that, then you're going to love this story. Because you see, this young boy, we don't even know his name. Talk about being insignificant at first. But God's going to use him to be a part of one of the greatest miracles ever recorded in the Bible. It's the miracle about Jesus multiplying the 5 loaves of sweet bread and the 2 dried akuli and feeding the multitudes. Okay, we don't even know the name of this boy. But I'm not trying to add anything onto the Bible, take anything away, but I like to call him Kimo. Because I believe brother was part Hawaiian, you know. Because the Bible says this, I'm going to tell you why. That Jesus fed the 5,000, not counting women and children, okay? So we can consider that maybe there was twice amount of that number. Maybe there was 3 times. Maybe there were 10,000, 15,000 people there. Now, with all those people there, only one small boy remembered to bring his bento, his plate lunch, his brown bag. Brother had to be part Hawaiian. Because you know us Hawaiians, even at a young age, we might forget to do our homework. We might forget to do our chores. We might even forget our first name. But when it comes to food, I don't think so. But the key here is this. That what little he had, he gave to the Lord. And God took that little and turned it into a huge miracle. Why? Because Jesus was thankful for what little they had. And look what he says in this scripture over here. He says, then Jesus took the loaves in number 2, gave thanks to God, and passed them out to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate until they were full. John 6:11. Now the Bible goes on to say this. After they were all full, there were 12 baskets of food left over. Because when Jesus throws a luau, you better get ready to bust out the tin foil, Ziploc bags, extra Tupperware, because it's going to get plenty left over. Because our God is a God of more than enough. He's a God of abundance. That's the kind of God we serve. Because sometimes when it comes to God, the big is in the little. And the 2 things we can learn from this story right here, and go ahead and write in that first bullet, that no one is insignificant in God's kingdom. No one. You might think or feel that you're insignificant, but God will do significant things in your life if you allow him to. And then the second thing we can learn in this story is be thankful for what little you may have. Be thankful for what little you may have. How simple, but how profound. Because a lot of times, we tend to overlook, disregard, ignore, underestimate the small things that are before us. And God had placed them there to test our hearts, to see if we're faithful, to see if we're thankful. And then if we are, he'll add on much more. You know, like I said, I grew up in Kalihipalama, just a few blocks down the road. And in the lane that we lived in that house is the original house that was built there on that property. It almost has a 80-year history. It's the old-style plantation homes. You know the ones with the iron corrugated roof? The totang roof. Some of you know what I'm talking about, yeah? Our house is so old that if the termites were to move out, the house would fall down. And when you walk into our kitchen, you cannot stomp your feet or walk too hard, you know. Because when you're having dinner, you know all those small black spots on your white rice? That's not black pepper, you know. And I remember when my wife was pregnant with our son, it was during the summertime. And it was one of the hottest summers in years. And I said, oh, we got to do something. It is just too hot. And I felt so sorry for my wife and for myself too. I said, we got to do something. So we're going to at least put an air conditioner in the bedroom. At least the bedroom will be cool. So we changed the wiring. We put in an air conditioning unit, closed all the windows, shut the door, left it on for almost a whole day. But guess what? The room didn't even cool down. Why? Because it had too much pukas in the wall. Too many holes, too many cracks in between the lumber. You know, during the summer, the wood expands, yeah? All these cracks all over the place. When you come to my house, I don't have to go outside to see who's coming. I just look in between the cracks. Hey, that's not fine, huh? I mean, that. And then, after about my 39th can of wood putty, patching all the holes, I did what any professional handyman would do. I went bust out the duct tape. True story, no? God be my witness. And I went duct tape all the cracks and the pukas. And then I took out the white paint and I went paint over that. But I remember one day, I was looking at the house and I started to grumble before the Lord. And I started to grumble in my heart. And I said, Lord, look at this house. I mean, where's the blessings? I've been praying for a new house. Look, I'm ashamed to invite people to our home because this house is so dilapidated. And then just then, it's like the Lord spoke to me in an instant. He put it on my heart. He said, open your eyes, Matt. Look around. Look around. You got two ice boxes, one inside the house, one outside, less than 10 feet apart. In the garage, you have three cars because my mom was still alive. You have three cars in the garage. Your two dogs and your two cats that you feed twice a day eat more in one day than some of my people eat in 1 week. You have a roof over your head. You have shelter. You have a home when so many are homeless and you're grumbling. And just then I started to repent before the Lord. And I said, Lord, no wonder I don't have great things in my life. Because you can't trust me with the small things. I'm not doing the very best with the small things that you place before me. I'm not even being thankful. Here I am grumbling. And then I started to thank the Lord for the smallest things in life. The very next breath that I took. The very next heartbeat that passed. The very next sight that I saw. I said, Lord, I want to be a person whom you can trust. Whom you can call faithful. I want to be thankful in the small things. I want to do the best with the little things that you've placed in my life. Because I know God is a God that likes to do a lot with very little. He's into making something out of nothing. That's the kind of God we serve. I said, Lord, help me with that. And this last story is about a man named Nicodemus. Now, historians say that Solomon's courtyard in the temple in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus, you could hold up to 50,000 people in attendance at one time. Many speakers and philosophers and teachers would go there to share their wisdom. They said that the acoustics were so great because maybe of the Roman influence, but it was just an awesome place to be in that courtyard. Now, one of the greatest messages ever preached in the Bible, if not the greatest in some people's opinion, is the message of being born again and receiving salvation. Now, that message wasn't preached in Solomon's courtyard where 50,000 people could hear it at once. That message wasn't given on the Sermon of the Mount and wasn't preached on the seashore of Galilee in front of the multitudes. That message was given just to one man, Nicodemus, a church leader, who came in the middle of the night asking Jesus questions. Basically, he was asking him, how do I get into heaven? And one of the greatest messages ever preached, the message of being born again and receiving salvation, wasn't given to the multitudes. It was given to one man. Because I believe the message of salvation is a one-on-one thing. It's a personal thing between you and the Lord. That's why we call it a personal relationship. And when he said to Jesus, how does one be born? How do I get salvation? How do I get into paradise? Jesus answered this way in John 3:3, in our third scripture. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And in this message will come one of the greatest scriptures that many of us come to love and know. That scripture that you would see on baseball caps, bumper stickers. You will even see this scripture at championship football games when someone lift up that big sign. John 3:16. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that no one should perish, but whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal or everlasting life. You and I, after this life is over, this temporal life, this temporary life, we are going to exist somewhere for all of eternity. And in this little life, this short life that we live, we need to make a big decision of where we're going to spend all of eternity in existence. What is eternity anyway? Eternity is time without end. You know what I like to call eternity? Five evers. You know what is five evers? Longer than four evers. Long time, you know. And I believe in this little life, in this short life, God wants us to make a big decision. Because sometimes when it comes to God, the big is in the little. The really big is in the little. I remember there was a time in my life that I didn't even see life as being significant at all. I was going to live my life the way I wanted to live it. I was going to do what I wanted to do. It was all about the next feel-good time, whatever that event may be. I was a drug-dealing, substance-abusing, worst of the worst, not even considering what God had in plans for me. But when I was at my lowest, God wanted to do a big miracle in what little was left of me. And I believe God wants to do that with somebody here today. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've gone through. Because it's not where you've been, it's where you're going. It's not that you've been down, it's how you get back up. God wants to take his big and put it on your little. God wants to take the biggest thing, the greatest thing he has to offer, his son Jesus Christ, and have him come and live in and through little old us. So I believe today that someone here has an appointment with God. God wants to take his big and put it on your little. Because that's the kind of God we serve. So, this big decision, in a very little act of faith, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you want to make the biggest of decisions in this littlest act of faith, if you want to say yes to Jesus and no to the devil, if you want to know for sure that your heart was to stop tonight, you wake up in a place called paradise in the arms of our Heavenly Father, where there'll be no pain, no stress, no sickness, no disease, no high gasoline prices, no ridiculous real estate conditions. If you want to make the biggest decision in the littlest act of faith, if you want to say yes to Jesus and no to the devil, and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you just go ahead and lift your hand up and say, yes, Lord, take your big and put it in my little. Just go ahead and hold your hands up a little bit longer so heaven can rejoice. Lord, I give you praise for all of these hands that are lifted up. Lord, I just thank you. I know you see their hands and their hearts, Lord. I give you praise for that. You can go ahead and put your hands down. Maybe the rest of us, you're kind of like me and at times tend to overlook, ignore, underestimate, even disregard the small things that God has placed. And you and I want to be someone who is faithful and thankful so God can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did the best with what little you had. Now I want to add on more unto you. If that's you today, why don't you lift your hand and say, yes, Lord, I want to be that kind of person. Thank you, Lord. You can go ahead and put your hands down. Could you all please repeat this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins and raising from the dead. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. And I say this so I can hear it, so those around me can hear it, so the devil can hear it. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. Lord, take your big and put it in my little. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, would you go and rejoice with those who made that decision today?